I think all has been said that need to be said, probably. But I'll add a few comments. Definitely glad to be here. Got a little cold here, but glad to be here and to participate in this great fellowship of men. But just to add a few comments, just the burning in my soul just kind of spurs out of some of the stuff that we are currently preaching through at our church in Tallahassee. And the illustration that comes to mind is, some of you know, I'm in real estate, and I do a lot of rental properties and property management. We have this one property, and the property has an alarm system in there, and for some reason, it keeps going off over and over and over and over again. I get phone calls from the ADT 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. Hey, alarm is going off. We come to find out that it's something wrong with the system. It's a false alarm, and we just keep getting it over and over and over again. But at the same time, I know that's one malfunction, but I think the other malfunctioning of a system is if it doesn't go off when the intruder comes in and the alarm does not go off. And I think that that's something that I am kind of faced with when I'm really thinking through. We're in Colossians, and we're dealing with this idea of anger. And some would think that anger is something that is bad. But there is a sense that anger is something that is good if used properly. Amen. And so, because anger is something that God has. The Bible says that God is angry with the wicked some days. No. He's angry with the wicked every day. Amen. And so, again, that is something that going back to that analogy, that we have a problem with anger when we go in the wrong direction, but there is a problem with anger when we don't become angry at something that we should be angry with. The Bible calls it righteous indignation. There's a heat and a zeal when God's glory is compromised. And so when that alarm that's in all of us, when somebody comes into the door and it does not go off, something's wrong. There's something wrong indeed. And so let's turn really quick to Ephesians, piggyback off of Pastor Jeff. Ephesians, I'm not going to do chapter 6. I'll switch it up now. No, I'm just kidding. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll look at verse 26. Ephesians, I'm in New King James, but says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." I'll go to 27. "Nor give place to the devil." Be angry and do not sin. There's two things in this text that I think is very important for us to notice when we talk about this anger. We notice, number one, Paul is commanding, an imperative thing he's saying here. Be angry. Be angry. That basically is talking about a righteous indignation that is that has a zeal like Christ had for the glory of his Father. When he saw what was going on in the temple, in the house of his Father, and when the disciples saw him going in and clearing out the money changers, the scripture came to mind: "The zeal of thine house have eaten me up." The zeal of thine house have eaten me up. That's the same type of thing that Paul is getting at here when he's saying, "Be angry." We should be angry. The zeal for God's house, and not only that, but his glory. when we see atrocities that are happening all around us and we're indifferent, when we see in our communities, mine in particular, the black community, where the leading cause of death in the black community is abortion. If you combine heart disease, heart attacks, HIV, AIDS, black-on-black crime, and a few others, all of them combined together is a fraction of how many that are being slaughtered on a daily basis. Over 1,500 daily that are being slaughtered. When we hear of such atrocities that's happening to what we call the imago Dei, the image of God being decimated, and how can we be indifferent? How can we be indifferent? We should be angry.
Amen.
We should be angry. Again, this is one of the impediments, I think, when we talk about the gospel, when we talk about preaching the gospel, some of the impediments could be that the gospel that we are preaching is not affecting how we live. The gospel that we're preaching to people, they see the hypocrisy and no indignation. And again, this is an issue that is going around now, and there's a lot of controversy, and we don't have time to get into all the controversy at this meeting, but there's a lot of controversy on what's going on in our culture now. Some would call it social justice, and some would say you just preach the gospel, or should we preach a gospel that is just, that's concerned with justice? That's a debate. Again, they're crying out and saying that if we're preaching a gospel that is just, but we see injustices and we're indifferent, something's wrong. Something's wrong with that gospel. It's a deficient gospel. And again, I think this is a command that we should take heed to. Be angry. And a lot of people call this, I don't know if you've heard this terminology, being woke. Anybody heard that before? Being woke, being conscious, you know, coming to an awareness of what's going on around us, outside the four walls of the church, what's happening across the street, down the street, across town, and some of the marginalized neighborhoods that we probably don't even drive down. What's happening there? We're not angry because we're not woke, some of us, myself in particular. So this is confronting me when we look at this particular thing, to be able to say that the gospel is broader than just preaching the gospel, but living the gospel and being indignant and having righteous anger about something that is impeding upon the glory of God. So that's the first thing that Paul shows us. Be angry. That's a command. Then he says, number two, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. I think he sets a time limit, because some of us may see the indignation, see the things that are happening around us, and we see the zeal, we have a zeal for God's house, but yet we do nothing about it. Or I'll get to that later. And we let the sun go down on our wrath. That zeal that is eating us up, we have done nothing about it. And Paul is warning us and saying, do not sin. Though you see it, now do something about it before the sun goes down. It's the second thing. Because if we don't, we're in sin. Saying, be angry, number one. Do not sin. Address the issues quickly from what Paul is saying. Because if not, he says, nor give place to the devil, or give a foothold to the devil in these particular things. And again, I think it's something that that is very, very important for us as the body of Christ to be able to be engaged where we should be engaged, where the battle is. We need to be on the front line. And I love to hear Pastor Jeff talking about that frontline ministry this morning at the abortion clinic. It's being angry and doing something about it. Going to that clinic, speaking to those injustices that are happening all around us. That's what we're called to do. Matter of fact, James says it this way. He talks about pure religion. What is pure religion and undefiled? And he tells us what that is in James chapter 1, where James says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. That's true religion. To visit, the visitation. I like it where he says, to visit them in affliction. And of course, a lot of us, we get the second part right, to keep himself unspotted from the world. And it's a, we understand that holiness is important, and we should be holy, and we should be seeking after God and seeking after his holiness. But beloved, I think some of us miss that other half, the visitation of the fatherless and the widows, the most vulnerable in a society, the marginalized. He's calling us. What true religion is the visitation of these ones in their affliction. And so if I had to leave a couple of exhortations for us, it would be number one, be angry. Be angry. There's nothing wrong with it if it's a righteous anger. To see all that's going on and to observe what's going on. To visit them in their afflictions. Talk with them. What's happening? You know, what's going on? It's amazing, and I know some people, I tell people this, and probably some people had never heard this before. I have a professor of mine that has a sister, and he was saying that his sister receives over $1,500 a month from the government. And you know all she has to do is put her sons on drugs. Ritalin. Have you ever heard of such a thing? To incentivize a low-income single mother with up to $1,500 in monthly income, and all you have to do is put your child on some drugs that some say is causing some to have effeminate types of tendencies. We should be angry at such a program. And when I hear that type of stuff, and like I said, for us, a lot of us have never even heard of that before. You know, the question is, are we awoke? Are we awake? Are we visiting the fatherless and the widows and their afflictions, finding out what's going on? What are they doing? What's happening? To hear about such things, that we will become angry, and that we not only become angry, but we sin not by taking action, putting some action behind our words. And I think the last thing is very key for us when we look at this passage. What is the thing that's going to motivate us to do this? Because this is the part of the letter that's the imperative. The thing that's going to motivate us is the indicatives that we see in the chapters preceding this. When we meditate upon these indicatives that Paul talks about in the first few chapters, that God of all creation, before the world was, chose you in Christ Jesus. He didn't see any good works that you would do, but he chose you in Christ Jesus. He keeps on talking about who we were and you who once were dead in trespasses and sins. In that same chapter, he says those two words when he describes all of us following the course of this world and all the wickedness and the darkness that we were in, but he says two words, but God. Mm-hmm. But God, who is rich in mercies, with a great love wherewith he loved us, even while we were dead in trespasses and sins. This love came to us even when we were dead in trespasses and sins. And it, for me, is always one of those things that I say, that when I was at a point when I could do absolutely nothing to please him, he sent his son. And he opened my eyes that I may see this glorious Savior. And it's when I meditate upon these indicatives, I can do the imperatives. When I meditate upon the Father, the God that saved me, the wretch undone that I am, and he set me upon a rock, his son. And when I think about that, when I say, see anything that would degrade his glory, a zeal rises up within me. I now can become angry and sin not. I can do something that would impede, that would stop the impediment of his glory, the God of glory that has given so much mercy, the God that is rich in mercy. So as we meditate upon those indicatives, as our brethren has just finished talking about, the key to meditation and soaking in that glorious gospel, let it move us into action. Amen. Let it open our eyes to all the atrocities that are around us. Let it burn. Let it put a fire on the inside of us, that we may burn with indignation and zeal for the glory of this God and his amazing grace. Amen. Amen. Amen.